when it goes overhead, it's going to be here in an hour and a half. At the same time, you know, an hour and a half from here will be somewhere over Louisiana and somewhere over Mexico. And that's, you know, as the Earth is rotating, would really determine who you can talk to and when. And so what happens is that if you're going to talk to the International Space Station, you have a few opportunities during the day, but then again, there's no assurance during that time that one of the astronauts is going to have his radio on and be willing to talk. There's a few times during the year that they are especially active or especially interested in communication. When I last spoke to the International Space Station, it was during an event in June where there were a lot of radio operators on the air trying to talk to the National Space Station. And I was actually quite fortunate because what happened, much like this past year, the International Space Station had already gone off the eastern seaboard, and it was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when I tried to make my communication, so I was not distracted with 5 or 10 people simultaneously trying to talk to the International Space Station. So it's hard, it's challenging, but it's fun, and it's a place where you can really use science. You know, we talk about STEM, we talk about the STEM technology, we talk about getting good jobs. You know, I became an amateur radio operator or a ham radio operator back in 1974. Back in 1974, I was a junior in high school, but there are people who are absolutely your age who have taken a test, got the necessary equipment, and they certainly have the license and the ability to speak to people through satellites or to people on the International Space Station. I want to talk a little bit about the technology. As I said earlier today, this is my 5-watt walkie-talkie. And with that antenna, this antenna, the multiple elements of this antenna focus the energy. So if I'm pointing directly at the space station with only 5 watts of power, I can focus all 5 watts of that power directly at the International Space Station. That's why we're using the tracking software, because actually down at the Goddard Space Station, at the Goddard Space Center, I'm guessing that they have automatic tracking equipment that is moving their antennas as the contacts going by. So they don't have to physically point and move and hope that their aim is good. So, you know, one of the reasons why we're working with the team NASA, and thank you for participating, is because they've got some nice equipment then to improve the odds of having a good signal. Now we talk about the radios that are involved, and they'll speak specifically about the radios that we have. These are radios that I use when I talk to the International Station. As you can see, I have 2 radios, and these aren't big, giant transmitters with thousands of watts of power. This transmitter here is the J2-857 model, who cares? But the critical piece of this is that this has about 50 watts of power. So this is applying the equivalent of a 50-watt light bulb of energy. Instead of turning it into light, like a light bulb, it's turning it into radio energy, which is then pointed towards the International Space Station. This radio is even lower power. This is just a 5-watt radio. And as you can see from before when I talked about the Doppler shift and how the frequency changes, you'll notice if we're watching this during the contact itself, these numbers are going to start changing very, very quickly, especially once the International Space Station passes us. And so what happens is, certainly the folks down at Goddard, and certainly when I'm doing it at home, I have my computer controlling both the frequency and the antennas that are moving. So the thing is that it's fun, it's exciting, but also it doesn't necessarily take much money if you're interested in this and you're interested in science. I brought a little piece with me that I bought on eBay. It's got a little antenna here, and it's just got a USB stick. And this is actually a European television decoder. It's called a DVB-T6. Cost me $15. And with this $15 device, I can sit and listen to the International Space Station as it's going over. I can listen to people on you know, radio channels. There's, you know, a lot of local radio communication that goes on. And again, I, you know, if I have an interest in these kinds of technologies, for very little money, for $15, it's possible to become active and become involved with this kind of technology. And the thing is, you know, as we're moving into more computer-centric environment, as we're moving into more science-centric environment, you know, the consideration of the software that is driving this graphic display, the software that's driving the tracking of my radio, this is standard programming. This is, you know, people are using Python, people are using Matrix, people are using, you know, standard languages. The thing is that people who have an interest in science, who have an interest in technology, have the ability to get a good job. I know it's a little early, you're not too worried about good jobs at this point, but the consideration is that there is always a bright future when people have good skills in science. Even if you're going to be focused on the arts, having an understanding of technology, having an understanding of how things work can actually really, really be helpful. The other thing is that today I think part of the reason that we have all of you involved with this today is say, hey, this is fun, this is exciting, and this is just a little bit more than just schoolwork and schoolwork and things like that. You know, the consideration is that with a little bit of work, with a little bit of study, you can be in a very strong position for your futures, and it puts you in a really great place. So, from the communication status right now, it looks like we're about 13 minutes out. And as you can see that right now the International Space Station is somewhere over in Hawaii, kind of. Not exactly sure, but it looks like it's over Hawaii. And again, the consideration here is that, you know, it's moving very, very fast. And you can see that, you know, if we wanted to talk, you know, for example, when I had my contact in the contact that I had previous to this, as the principal had mentioned, I did a very similar program to this for the Auburn Lewisohn schools in Maine. They had their station that we communicated to was down in South America. So, for example, if you want to have our school communication space in South America, we would wait, that yellow line would be down here in South America. So there's a lot of schools around the world that are doing this. It's very, very interesting. Talking about technology, talking about futures, talking about some of the things Cameron had mentioned earlier. Prior to getting actively involved with this school kind of work, I actually did a lot of work down at NASA. I've been to 6 launches of the space shuttle. I've been to the top of the launch pad. I actually was even given, as a gift, I have a tile off of the space shuttle Endeavor that was given to me as a gift for the work that I had done. You know, and the thing is that, again, it's just a matter of having interest, showing passion. You know, as Mr. Cameron said today, that he could feel the energy in the room, the excitement in the room that we have today. What we need to do is we need to continue with that excitement after this event, find out how it's done, find out what we're doing, and find out how we can better be involved. I mean, the critical thing is, again, my career. I started my career working with power plants. I then moved to computer technology. That got me a position where I was working with NASA. That got me a position where I was able to be at the NASA Space Center during six launches of the space shuttle. I've been I have physically been inside the space shuttle Discovery. I've touched each one of the shuttles as they were being maintained and being repaired. I actually have a funny story, you know, one of the funny stories that I have regarding the space shuttle. I was working on a computer system in what was the maintenance hangar for the space shuttle, and I dropped a screw. I dropped a screw on the floor, and it bounced away. I was required by NASA to find that truth. And the reason I was required by NASA to find that truth is if that loose screw had gotten into the shuttle cargo bay, and when the shuttle was going at 17,000 miles an hour, it came out and hit the shuttle, it could cause the shuttle to crash. I sat for 2.5 hours in that hangar to make sure that I found that screw. And what does that say? That says a couple things. That says, first off, this work is pretty, very important. This work requires attention to detail, and it's exciting and fun. You know, the thing is that, you know, I come back years later after that screw story, and actually it's a very interesting story to share. It's a very interesting story to tell, and people say, well, why do you care? What's a screw? You know, what's this? When I went into the shuttle hangar, they were so careful, I had to tie my glasses to my head. I couldn't just wear my glasses. And I can't see any of you with my glasses off. They were very, very so careful. And the thing is that why are they doing that? Because they want to keep the astronauts safe. They want to make sure that everything goes smoothly, everything works smoothly. And they want to make sure that the technology that they're using works very well. And I was in an environment where I had the luxury of working throughout the Kennedy Space Center. And I had over 500 computers deployed throughout the Space Center, and I was maintaining them. And you sit there and say, how do I do that job? What skills do I need to do that job? And it's like, I need passion. I need understanding of science. I need understanding of technology. And sometimes being in the right place helps a lot, too. But the thing is that if you...
Dave, I'll give you about 15 more seconds.
I think we're getting ready for Charlie to take over. Charlie, you about ready to take over?
Yeah, sure am.
So I hope I didn't bore you guys down there in Goddard.
Not at all, Dave.
Good deal. So I'm going to turn it over to you. And again, I'd like to thank the entire Goddard team and Charlie and the MSAT team for helping with us today. I mean, we've got 600 very excited students here.
Great. Now, a couple of questions. John, AG9D, did you come on board? Thanks, John.